hope that you are taking time to strengthen your faith, strengthen your relationship with God. Or perhaps now you can take some time to do that, that it might support you in the present crisis. We offer an affirmation of our faith each time we gather together at Daleville Christian Church, and this one from 1 Timothy in the 2nd chapter. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Let us pray together. Almighty Heavenly Father, you are a great God. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. You know us and you hear our prayers. We thank you for that and we praise your name. We would tell others of the great God we serve because of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Heavenly Father, the world is suffering. Our nation is suffering. How often have you heard the cries of your people in plague? And so it is now our turn to come to you. We come to you with so much on our minds. You said to one woman once, only one thing is necessary. Lord, help us to consider this one important thing, our relationship with you. Some today, Lord, come adrift in our daily lives, pulled from the routines that structured us. We cannot right now embrace all those we love. This distresses us and keeps us from true rest. Some find ourselves feeling alone, and our usual comforts are often not available to us. However, Lord, you remain available to us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your church, Lord, remains at work, although often hidden from our eyes. And Lord, we ask that you help us focus more on you. Bless us, we pray, in your word again today. Be thou our wisdom, and thou our true word, we ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou our great Father, we all thy true sons, because by your promise through Jesus, those whom you have adopted will inherit your kingdom. Thou in us dwelling, and we with thee one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading of God's Word for today is from Philippians in the 4th chapter, the 6th through the 9th verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Before we get into the meat of this sermon, the main course, we have to talk about some appetizers. Actually, it's an unappetizing appetizer, I'm afraid. And you may have read this. It was an article that showed up in media. The coronavirus has prompted almost two-thirds of American believers of all faiths to feel that God is telling humanity to change how it lives, a new poll finds. Even some who don't affiliate with organized religion, such as Lance DeJesus of Dallas Town, Pennsylvania, saw a possible bigger message in the virus. He stated he believed in God, but was not particularly religious. I mentioned this before back on March 15th, but I'll say it again. The God of the Bible deals with God's people. The plagues we read about in the Bible or the disasters are either sent by God to hurt or punish God's people for a reason, or plagues or disasters are sent in order to help God's people, and the enemies of God's people are therefore afflicted. But in the Bible, the disasters are specific to a group of people. Today's pandemic is not group specific. Everybody is susceptible. Everybody can get the coronavirus. All kinds of people have already died, the faithful and the atheist. So according to Bible precedent, the present pandemic cannot be a message from God. That's how I would interpret the Bible from God's side of things. Now, if you want to take the pandemic as a message from God, I won't stop you. Unless your message from God sounds really messed up, like maybe God is out to get you, then we'd have to talk about that. But I'm not going to argue with you. If you want to take the pandemic as a message from God, no arguing. But I would have a lot of questions for you. Personally, I would have thought that World War I and the flu pandemic 100 years ago in 1918 might have gotten the world's attention and even taught the world something in 1918. And we did start the League of Nations back then, but that fell apart fairly quickly, followed by the Second World War and the Holocaust. So the world gave up on any lessons from World War I and the flu epidemic within about 15 years. 15 years. So is it fair to say that as a species, we're not the sharpest tools in the shed? If history shows us anything, God can't get our attention for very long. I have further proof. Here's another reason as to why the present pandemic isn't God trying to get our attention. God already tried to get our attention by showing up in person, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one we now call God's Son. God tried to get our attention by showing up in person. God's people put together a book about it. We called it the Bible. People rejected Jesus and Jesus' message then. People reject Jesus and Jesus' message now. Since we believe God himself already showed up in person, the Lord God doesn't need to do more to get our attention. See Jesus' story about it in Luke chapter 16. Jesus told a story about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man, having died, asked to go back to his brothers and tell them the truth about life on earth. In the story, the deceased man states, "Father Abraham, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And the Lord says that Abraham spoke. Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. So, fellow believers, will people listen if God would send a pandemic? I'm asking. We could pay attention to God without a pandemic. Anyone could pay more attention to God at any time if they wanted to. The Word of God is freely available. Read the Bible for yourself, and there are plenty of helps to help you read the Bible. Why don't more people pay attention to God? The Bible gives me some answers to that question, but you might need to answer that question for yourselves. And here is the really crazy part about the whole situation. Amazingly, God still loves us. God still loves us, even if we don't pay him any attention. To me, it's really pretty miraculous. The Lord God, King of the universe, still loves us all. I think that's why one author wrote a book about God's love called Crazy Love. Because it's just crazy to think or believe that God still loves us. The Lord God still wants to save us. Save us from what? I thought we just covered that. God would save us from ourselves and the terrible decisions we make that so often put us on a highway to hell. Because as I've said, we don't have to go to hell unless we want to. To me, there's plenty of proof that many, many people want to go to hell. But I'm not here today for that sermon. You can find it in the sermon archives. So what is the alternative to hell? God. God is the alternative to hell. A God who loves you and cares about you, even more than you care about yourself. And so this unpleasant appetizer about some believing the pandemic is God trying to get our attention, not biblical. But it does bring us to the main course of today's sermon message. God in Jesus Christ still loves us and wants us to live with him now and forever, and Jesus made that possible. So the practical problem is how to stay positive in a pandemic, and the answer is God. Here again, the apostle's words. The apostle Paul wrote, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, I'm going to put this more in present-day language for all of us. It may be a little simplistic to say, this is how you keep positive in the present pandemic, because the Bible can help keep us positive in any crisis, any disaster. And I have a living example of that I'm going to share in a little bit. I've seen this quote more than once recently, so I need to share it. How to stay positive? Always look for the helpers. Always look for the helpers. Do you know who I'm quoting? Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Surely you know that Fred Rogers was an honor graduate of a school of theology and an ordained minister. He taught children that when something bad happens, there are always helpers. Look for the helpers. We are seeing helpers in this pandemic, aren't we? I know that some of you have already worked to make face masks. I mentioned that Governor Cuomo of New York State said that if I was staying home, I might be saving someone's life. That means I was a helper. Don't think about the future. Not yet, right? Does the Apostle Paul have in his list for us to think about? Does it include the future? No. The Apostle didn't even tell us to think about heaven. Not to the Philippian churches, he didn't. Not here. The Apostle said, think more about now. During this pandemic, I've been working hard in my garden and yard. A guy drove into my neighbor's driveway and said, your yard looks great. And I said, thanks. I've had time to work on it. Deb and I anticipate the best garden in years. I'm already eating out of it. But I'm at an age that even a little effort brings pain and soreness and fatigue. But usually, I'm grateful. I had the ability to get out and do the work. God gave me enough strength and energy to get out there today so that I might have more food tomorrow. I'm grateful even in my pain. Not only am I working in my garden and yard, but God is working in the world still. Jesus said so, John 5:17. I am working and my heavenly Father is working still. The Apostle Paul said that God is working for good. There is evil in the world. Believers do not deny that. And God is also working things for good. Romans 8:28. Let's hear from another believer, a survivor, a two-time survivor. Her name is Christina. This woman survived 9/11, just 6 blocks from the World Trade Center. People left their building in fear only to be covered in debris and dust from the falling towers several blocks away. The woman stated, I was a Christian then, but my faith was shallow and untested. I went to church, but that was about the extent of my walk with the Lord. When Brian and I were in the park as the towers fell, I had asked him if he thought we were going to survive. He replied sadly, maybe not, and grabbed my hands and began praying the Lord's Prayer. Although I was happy we were together during this awful time, I felt alone. These might be my last moments on earth, I realized. I didn't know where I was going if I did die. I became painfully aware that I didn't possess a relationship with God, that I'd only ever lived for myself. It was a terrible acknowledgement that throughout my life, a Savior beckoned to me with open arms, and I'd never cared enough to respond. Once we survived 9/11, I knew I was ready to explore a deeper connection with God. I never wanted to feel that alone again. So this couple got hooked up with a church, did heavy service through that church in Jesus' name, and they grew in faith. Fast forward to March 2020. Then the woman got COVID-19. Christina does not say when she became ill, but it was weeks before Easter. It must have been mid-March. Christina wrote, my COVID-19 survival rate is 50-50, I thought. There's no 50-50 with you, Lord. You are sovereign over this, and if it's your will, please heal me. Although I was entirely alone in physical space, unlike 9/11 at the park, I never felt alone during my illness. I knew the Holy Spirit was with me. A deeper relationship with Christ gave me the courage to navigate the scary days of the virus in a way I could have never done on September 11th. Christina survived COVID-19 at the hospital and was quarantined 2 more times. Friends, this is what a relationship with the Lord, a real relationship with the Lord, can do. It doesn't prevent any evil from happening. Where is God in a disaster? Where is God in disease? God in Jesus is with you if you have a relationship with the Lord. The Apostle Paul closed his letter to the Greek churches in Philippi with these words: "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace, the God of peace, will be with you. The Lord our God loves you in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Speak with him. The Lord is available to you." Amen.